be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed the child in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you convert and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Monday we had the chance to ponder on the Feast of the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, their dual function to ascend and to descend, and to help us to ascend in prayer to the Lord and to descend in real acts of charity. Today we focus on the fact that each of us has been given by God, as the Catechism tells us clearly, an angel specifically to help us to fulfill the whole purpose of our life. Someone who wants to help us to ascend. Someone who wants to help us to descend in that loving service. And we need to be aware of this. Many Christians sleepwalk through life. They're unaware of the supernatural realm. It's a consequence of scientism, in which we think the only stuff that's real, the only stuff we can know, is what we can see under a microscope or somehow sense. Can't see the devils, can't see the angels. So a lot of the times, even we Christians go throughout life as if that whole realm of creation doesn't exist. One of the greatest ways for us to start to live supernaturally is to open up our eyes to that entire reality, both the good and the bad. Today we focus on the good and how the good wants to help us to defeat evil in all its sources. Today, in the first reading from the book of Exodus, we see how the Lord helped the Israelites. He said, "See, I am sending an angel before you." Why? "To guard you on your way and bring you to the place I have prepared for you." Then God gives some commands. Be attentive to him. Heed his voice. Don't rebel against him. If you heed his voice and carry out all I tell you, I'll be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. I'll be on your side, in other words, because you'll be on my side if you heed the angels whom I've sent to guard and guide you. In the gospel today, we see Jesus' words about even the youngest children, that their angels are constantly in the presence of God the Father, worshiping him, praying, not just for themselves, but praying, of course, for those who have been entrusted to him. And in the responsorial psalm, we hear that the Lord has put his angels in charge of us to guard us in all our ways. What a great gift we've received. But we have to ask the question, how do we hear his voice? How do we let ourselves be led by him if we can't see him? If he's put him in charge of us, how do we follow his direction? That requires a great tuning of our prayer life, and it requires first being conscious of his presence. Are we aware that we have a guardian angel? And then second, how do we communicate with our guardian angel? First thing we need to do is we need to pray. We need to ask our guardian angel to pray with us. The more that we do, the more we'll become conscious of his presence. We've talked before about the various expressions of prayer, the various forms of prayer, it's called in the Catechism. First form, the most important way we pray is praise. We praise the Lord, which is loving him because he's so lovable before he ever does anything to us. Who can best teach us this than our angel? Our angel knows how to praise God. They're constantly before God's throne, praising him and praying for us. What a great thing it is for us to do, to just say, "Guardian angel, please help me to praise God as you're praising God right now." Second form of prayer is thanks. Our guardian angel knows all the graces that God's given us, including those that we might not be aware of. It would be our guardian angel, for example, who would be the one who knew that God had arranged things so that we wouldn't be killed in a car accident on our way to church today. We might be totally oblivious to the fact that that person who would have killed us forgot his car keys in his house, needed to go back for them, and that's why we were there. So many other graces that we've received that we have done something well, but we are oblivious to the fact that God had helped us ahead of time. When we're going before the Lord to thank Him in prayer, our guardian angels are the ones who can fill us with that gratitude because they're aware of all those graces. For contrition, how key it is for us to turn to our guardian angels. Our guardian angels are a celestial bodyguard who've been given to us throughout life. They've observed every sin that we've ever committed. Our sins in our thoughts, the way we've sinned with our lips, either from swearing or blasphemy or gossiping or lying. They've witnessed all the sins of our heart, all the sins of our actions. They've witnessed all of the things that we should have done, but unlike the Good Samaritan, we passed by on the other side of the road. You know, when I want to be filled with contrition for my sins, I always turn to my guardian angel and I just think about what my guardian angel has observed. And what shame I've given to my guardian angel, whose job was to protect me, but who can't control our will. He can suggest things to us, he can try to help us. He can magnify the voice of conscience, but we're always free. He knows every single sin I've ever committed. And what a great burden that would be for him. But when I want to be filled with contrition, I think about how I've wounded my guardian angel. And that brings me much more easily to reflect on how I have wounded God by my sins. Petition and intercession. Petition is when we pray for ourselves. Intercession is when we pray for others. How awesome it is that we can turn to our guardian angel and ask our guardian angel to pray with us before God's throne, right there, for these needs that we have or that others have. We can constantly ask them that as we quit and we start to weary in prayer, that our guardian angel never weary in praying for this need. What a great gift we have in helping us to pray in our guardian angel. And the more we do that, the more we attune to his voice. Second way the guardian angel helps us is in ordinary life. They're always there trying to help us to sanctify every little detail of the day. When we're even aware of their presence, we do things differently. If we've got some work that we don't feel like doing and we're unenthusiastic for it, we turn to them and say, help me to just get through this and to try to do this as well as I can. A lot of the times I add, and as fast as I can, so that I can get it over. And they're always there. But when you begin to look supernaturally in this way, everything changes. When you're on a phone mail, on a voicemail tree, calling up to try to sort of get some service, I'll always pray to the guardian angel of the one who will be on the other side of the line so that that person will pick up the phone more quickly rather than go for another coffee and leave me there on hold. When you're at some type of customer service type of thing face to face, pray to the guardian angel of that person. If that person doesn't want to give you the return because you're one day late, whatever else, you ask that the guardian angel open them up to what real justice is, that there's no real loss there on the part of the company. When I do my priestly work, I'm constantly praying to the guardian angels of those with whom I'm speaking, especially when it's a difficult thing, when I have to call somebody to conversion. I know it's not a one-on-one conversation. It's a three-on-one conversation. My guardian angel, that person's guardian angel, and me on one side, and that person on the other. And I'm always confident in those odds. For those who worry about being alone, we're never alone. Guardian angel's always beside us. The one person will always be there, who really will do anything for us. What a great consolation that is. Then, of course, in the spreading of the faith, when a preacher steps up to the pulpit, there's a pious tradition that we pray to the guardian angels of everybody who's going to be listening so that they'll remember what God wants them to remember. And so they will forget, basically erase, if anything came out in a way that they would have misinterpreted to their harm or to the harm of others. Likewise, when we're spreading the faith, this person might seem totally hostile, The person's guardian angel is not. And the person's guardian angel wants us to be able to say that word of intervention, perhaps, or that word of consolation. And so we can turn to the guardian angel and ask the guardian angel of that other person for help to open up that person's heart just enough so that God's word through us can penetrate. To live in the presence of our guardian angel with real awareness is one of the most important things we can do. You know, earlier this week I was rereading an interview with Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, whom we remembered on the day of his beatification on Saturday. He had given a book in which he was being asked a lot by the one who really helped him in faith, St. Jose Maria Escrivá. And two pages of that book were dedicated to St. Jose Maria's real practical living with his guardian angel. And Blessed Alvaro was talking about it. He said, you know, there were a bunch of little details. When St. Jose Maria would walk into a room and greet anybody, and he had a lot of visitors, he would always pause for a second. Nobody quite knew what he was doing. And interiorly, what he was doing is he was greeting the archangel, the angel of the one who had come to visit him first. He would always call the guardian angel the personaje en el cuarto, the personage, the big shot. And he'll always be aware of that in all his conversations. Whenever he would leave a room, people did notice this. Well, people did notice it, but they didn't understand the reason why until Blessed Alvaro said after his life. He would always pause for a minute before he would leave the room. And what he was doing on the inside was just allowing his guardian angel to go before him. In a very conscious way, to just be aware that his guardian angel is accompanying him, guiding him, guarding him in that very moment. To be aware of the presence of our guardian angel, speaking to us, guarding us, guiding us. That's what this feast day is about, but it's not supposed to be a one-day-a-year reflection. It's supposed to be something that we really need to grow in. So I'd encourage you today, turn to your guardian angel and say, sorry that I've gone most of my life without really paying adequate attention to you. But thank you for the grace today to make me alert. Please tell me what I need to do in order to become more and more alert. Please give me the graces to be aware of you so that I can heed your voice, follow your direction, and never run away from your protection. Finish with one last thought. I had placed in the bulletin probably about a year ago these reflections from Oblivion mystic Catalina Rivas, which seemed to me very plausibly coming from the Lord. And she described it at the part of the offertory of the Mass. That's the time that our guardian angels want to bring to the altar all our sacrifices made for God throughout the day. All the little acts of virtue, all the attempts we've given to think about God, all the forgiveness that we've given to others, all the courtesy and the charity, all the pains that we've offered up in union with the cross for the salvation of the world, whatever it be, all of it, all our work, they want to take that sacrifice to the altar to offer with Christ to the Father. But Catalina Rivas says that some days the guardian angels are very sad because they have nothing to offer, because we really haven't lived that day at all in union with the Lord, or lived that week sometimes for Sunday Mass goers in union with the Lord. In fact, we've lived alienated from the Lord by our own choice. Today, let's remember that the guardian angel wants to, our guardian angel, your guardian angel, personal protector, guide, friend, the person who loves you probably more than any other creature, wants to bring you and all your sacrifices here. Let's every day prepare for Mass by asking our guardian angel to get together a cornucopia of deeds done in loving union with the Lord, so that together with our guardian angel, we might be before that throne of the Lord. And as we prayed in the opening prayer today, be able to praise God with the guardian angel eternally. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.